Oh, so we're not doing a cold open.
No, this is a new
Ooh.
phase of the FFL podcast.
What, like
Welcome to the
phase three of our
phase
shared universe?
five or
Really?
six.
Oh,
Yeah,
I like the cold open. I'm not sure. Are we going to do a post-credit stinger thing instead then?
yes,
Oh,
obviously.
sweet. Okay, all right, cool. Because I really hate them. Because I've missed. I was watching a TV show and I missed extremely important pieces because someone pointed out to me that there's post-credit stingers. And I had to go back and watch them all and go,
Was it
oh,
the
right,
post
yeah.
credit or the post
It
credit?
was
There was
both,
because there
and
were
then.
two, right?
Well, was there? I don't know. So yeah, as a result now I have to go back and look at things. So I was kind of going,
This is how
why
you
is
wind
that?
up any. This is how you wind up anyone who's into Marvel. It's like, oh, but did you see the other one?
Yeah. No, and
Yeah,
exactly,
it was like,
right?
yeah, 5 minutes after the lights come up in the cinema and they're cleaning up, the screen comes back on. You have
Yeah,
to
and they'll
wait.
go, oh, by the way, yeah, it's very annoying. So yes. Anyway, so we'll do that because that'll annoy people. We're back. Well, we're
Yes.
back kind of. We're back briefly.
This is
So
like episode zero of phase three.
yeah, this is just to kind of get everyone to look at their phones and their podcast aggregation sites of choice and go, oh yeah, remember them? They
Oh,
were cool.
that
Yeah,
thing
oh,
didn't
those
die.
guys. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So we've been kind of bubbling away in the background and doing lots of other stuff because whilst the kind of the box offices have stopped, they haven't stopped. They've kind of gone on. So we kind of wanted to go through briefly what we've been up to. But first of all, I think we need, for the sake of several listeners, we need to drop the dubstep. This is the news.
Oh, yes.
Okay, okay. So let me queue it up. Where's the button? Right, here's the button.
Okay, go.
It's in the news. God, I missed that. I should point out that I did go through
My
the
own
exercise.
flashback.
I did go through the exercise of making them available as ringtones, but they're not in a very accessible place. So what I will do is I will go back in and make them available to our patrons on our Patreon site.
Ah.
Subliminal pun about pull plug about Patreon website. So I'll make them available, but if anyone else wants them, let us know. I'm finding that incredibly catchy and I've really missed that the most. Let's talk about the news. Let's talk about game news. So obviously the Fantasy Film League is still running. Although we are kind of running
Yes.
it like on only on four cylinders on the grounds that there currently is no UK box office.
But
So
thankfully, Whopper doesn't care that there's no
no,
UK.
well, we did a clever thing a couple of years back because we decided that re-releases wouldn't count. So we had to put a so Whopper used to only work if we put all 10 films in the
It
top
was
10.
very strict,
It was
very,
extremely
very
strict about
strict.
that. And we took that out because we decided that the re-release of whatever film wasn't going to count and we didn't think it was fair. But
Well,
now we can now put it in.
we also had the UK holiday problem where the one guy on his bike who rides around the UK and counts up all of the
Count.
cinema takings,
Yeah.
he would go on holiday and the UK figures would just disappear for a week or three. So we
Yes.
had to make Whopper a little bit more forgiving for when, like, say there was a week with no scores. Now, we didn't really predict a global pandemic that would cause an entire 9 months of no cinema
No,
to occur.
but in but looking
But
but looking
thankfully.
back, yeah, no, and it's allowed us basically. So what happened initially is one or two films would come out, and they didn't do very well because obviously people weren't going to the cinema. And then we had a complete close down here in the UK, but the US is still running. The US
Yeah.
released a couple of indie films that did really well,
Yeah.
comparatively
Well, they
speaking.
did really well relatively, right? Because I think the
Yeah.
takings are insanely down on what they were, right? So
Oh, of course. Of
there
course.
are box office top tens, but they don't look like anyone you've seen before.
But what's happened now is that films have been released and they're just hanging around. So Wonder Woman 1984, which we're going to come back to later on, talk about HBO Max. But Wonder Woman 1984 has come out, and it's literally just stayed there, just earning huge amounts of fuffle for anybody.
After week.
Yeah, yeah, well, we have the whole 8 weeks of winning, which is our kind of our rough guide
It was four.
4 weeks of winning. Sorry, you're right.
You only needed four back in the day, right?
So we calculated that if you had 4 weeks of your film in the top 10, you generally made your money back, unless you went in very heavy and it didn't do quite as well. But now you've got films that are hanging around, and we'll come back to that later on. So we'll cover some stats as we go. But yeah, what's going to happen now is obviously, you know, here, so we record this in the UK, and obviously we make the UK box office 50% of the scores. That's probably going to resurrect itself in the middle of this year. So I reckon June, July, we're going to start seeing cinemas reopen. All things being good, everything hopefully going the way it goes, at which point it's game on. I mean, we're going to have an absolute mad dash to the end of the year, because we have a year's worth of films. We're owed a year's worth of films. Where's my Fast and Furious film? I was told, I was promised John Cena, and he hasn't turned up. And also, I want to see Scarlett Johansson beat people up in Russia somewhere. So there's lots of films that we've missed.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg, right? Yeah. There's like this huge sort of tsunami of films built up.
And isn't there a James Bond film that needs to be coming out? I've been reading some really interesting things.
No Time to Release, I think, is what it's called.
No Time, exactly. I've been reading some really interesting things about that Bond film. And obviously, you know, so I've subscribed now to the Hollywood Reporter. This is how serious I'm about films now, right? What? I'm not messed about anymore, right? But
straight to the heart of the matter.
Absolutely. But one of the things that's interesting about the Bond movies, obviously they don't just fund it out of their endless supplies of cash reserves. Obviously people invest. So the thing.
This is something I think this is not just Bond, right? I didn't really realize this is every film. We have no money. Completely. Can you lend me some money? It's a bit like the stocks shorting things we've been seeing recently. It's like, give me hundreds of millions, and then I promise I will turn it into more hundreds of millions, probably.
And to be honest with you, if I had a couple of million and someone asked me to invest in a Bond film, I think that's a pretty decent investment, because those tend to do quite well.
Yeah.
Point being,
is this why we see kind of the focus on franchises and people, and sort of we see a lot of sequels and reboots? Is it all driven because of the way that they're financed now?
Because they'll make money. Yeah. I mean, obviously,
it's not just like they're sitting on a big pile Scrooge of cash.
Scrooge McDuck pile of cash. Well, Disney,
gold.
Disney, yeah. Disney are, but no one else is.
But everyone else, do they have to like go and like persuade like their you know, their friendly Russian oligarchs? Like, can you fund this film for me?
You're not.
So those people are taking a gamble, right? They're gambling.
You're not a million miles away from it. But what's happened though is that the Bond movie is sitting unreleased, and it's costing them $1 million. I think $1 million a month.
What?
In it. Sorry,
I'm just seeing my drink out.
It's $1 million a month in basically in interest payments, because they haven't released the film.
Who did they borrow this from?
Dr. Evil.
This is it.
So as a result, though, obviously, as time goes by, it's amassing a debt before it even starts, which is why there was a talk about Netflix.
Wow.
Netflix and Apple allegedly got together and offered an amount of money to release the film on their streaming platforms. And they were denied. But they offered them a lot of money, and they said, no, we're going to want an extra zero on the end of that.
Wow.
So because in theory, that film will raise $1 billion. So why would you sell it to Netflix for anything less than $1 billion?
Must become a point in time when the two graphs mix, like, you know, the graph of like money we might get versus the graph of like what we're
money
paying
we
in
owe.
Interest.
Yeah.
Like, at some point they're gonna,
and that's,
you know,
and that's, and the thing,
are
that's
they
the
just
point.
Holding their nerve? They're like Russell Crowe in Gladiator. Mel Gibson
in Braveheart.
Oh, Mel Gibson.
I'm with you.
Sorry, I can't. But,
yes, there is probably somebody in Eon who is just sitting there kind of going, is it open yet?
Old sweat.
Yes. But it's very interesting, because that's, and we're going to come on to that now, as this is that's the one thing. So the Bond film, as soon as that Bond film comes out, you know, and as we've discussed before on the podcast, you are legally required to go and see a Bond film in the UK when it comes out. You have to get fish and chips. You have to wear a hat.
You know what they should do? They should sort of correlate that with vaccinating people, you should have like a jab and a James or something, is it like all in one thing? That would be good.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. They missed
it. It works
for
me. They did. Right. Yes. Welcome to the
for Queen and Country, right?
Yep. For Queen and Country. Dun, 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 dun. I think as you get the vaccine, they have to play the Bond theme so you feel really badass about it. Stab. Oh, my arm. Okay. Right. You can go and see the film now. But it brings me on to HBO Max, which is the other way of doing it. So HBO Max, which is Warner Brothers, they announced that every film that they were going to release in 2020 is now going to be released in 2021. But the day that it's released in the cinema, they'll also release it on their streaming platform, currently only available in the US, at exactly the same time. This went down like a French kiss at a family reunion with anybody involved in films. Denis Villeneuve went absolutely bananas about it because he doesn't want his film to be released on
because they're worried that this will destroy cinematic releases, right?
Well, yeah, basically.
But this is like simultaneous. So you can basically choose. Like, do you want to see it on a huge screen, or do you want to see it on an even bigger screen in your living room?
do you want to watch it on your phone while you're in the loo, or do you want to watch it in a cinema? And most people have gone, oh, no, not really great. So again, Hollywood Reporter, they've done deals with everybody to say you'll still get paid, and there's deals have been done financially to make sure that everyone's good. Because obviously, if you've got a deal that says I want 10% of the box office take, but you know half of it's now being streamed, But obviously, that's gone down. So that's one way of dealing with it. But I think everyone else is just sitting on it.
I think that's the future. I think they're getting in early on the game. I think that's smart. And I think there'll be a proportion of filmmakers who hate it for reasons, inertia, like this is the way it's always done. I like seeing things on giant screens, et cetera, et cetera. And it, you know, but I think the public will be like, great.
This is how we used to do our reviews. We used to go, was it worth the admission price? Do you need to go and see it on the big screen? Because some films, like, you know, like an Avengers dun 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 film, you want that to be on as many K as possible on a on a screen nine stories high. But Pixie, which is a film that came out, which is a little heist Irish film, which I watched a while back. No, not so much.
It
doesn't need it. So I think massive franchise films, everyone will go, right, we're gonna go popcorn, hot dogs, that really awful cheesy stuff they put on the nachos. We're gonna watch Avengers, then we're gonna go to the pub and dissect every single scene because we're massive film nerds. Yeah. Other films, not so much. But then that means the only thing you're gonna have in multiplexes are going to be big dumb action
like event roller coastery type things.
Exactly. Yeah. Potentially. Some small considered Oscar.
But yeah, I think the thing is because you're forgetting that, you know, there's still an audience for, there's the people who can't get to the cinema for whatever reason. They've got young kids, can't find a babysitter, or they've got mobility problems or whatever. That means that maybe it's a bit cheaper to see it at home and they can't afford, you know, it's a cheaper option for them maybe, although I imagine HBO are probably not going to make it.
Well, it's cheap, still, right? it's like everything else. It's $9.99 a month or whatever it would be.
But that is actually cheaper than going to the cinema. So I think people who try and stop it happening, it's artificially controlling supply, right? And I think eventually someone will come along and go, I'm going to do it. And then they will make a bucket load of money and then everyone will flip and it will become normal and everything will be fine and you'll get a choice.
The only problem I will say is that if you release a blockbuster movie on a streaming site so you can stream it in 4K and it's released on the 1st of March, on the 2nd of March, you can
torrent
the hell out of it and you can download it. So I think that's going to be a key feature. They'll say how many people went to see Wonder Woman, how many people streamed Wonder Woman, and how many people pirated Wonder Woman. And I think if figure three is higher than either figure one or two, then people are going to have to rethink it.
Well, I guess maybe we see like how Disney Plus goes, right?
True.
Because they've got a lot of non-film content on there that's, and you know, TV now and stuff, and they've gone to like 100 million subscribers in a year.
Yeah.
If Disney's doing okay with that, then I think it can't be so bad, right? In terms of like, I think the thing is, I think with the pirating, right? I think if the monthly fee is like $9.99, you get to a point where people, it's more hassle to pirate it than it is to just like shell out a nominal amount of money. It's just like, why do, you know, it's picking the right price point and you'll get the 80% of the people in, right?
But let's say that you're in the US, right? Because obviously we don't get HBO Max here in the colonies.
Not without using
the old
duplicitous means.
Indeed, yeah. But you've got Netflix, Disney Plus,
yep.
Hulu, HBO Max.
Yeah, that's a lot of things to buy into.
What's now going to be called Paramount Plus, right? So each of them charge $9.99.
Stacking it. You're right.
You're now dropping $50 on content that's now spread across everywhere. So sometimes you got to go, or I could just pick one and then just not that I'm advocating piracy.
I have seen some people sort of saying what you really need to do is, if you're not worried about seeing things the moment they come out, is you round robin. So you do 2 months on Disney Plus and then you cancel and you move and you spend the money on Netflix, and then you binge everything on Netflix for 2 months and you go round. And then that means every 10 months you've gone round all five. And by the time you get around, there's a huge pile of new stuff for you to watch.
Yeah, but by then someone's spoiled the end of Mandalorian for you and you get grumpy about it. It's a good shout.
Indeed. Timing.
However,
it does seem stupid the kind of this sort of going out horizontally. There's like all these different platforms now. There must be some sort of limit.
Yeah, and it's a strange thing. And people have been asking us about what we're going to do about streaming, and there's no data on it. They don't say this is our top 10 of our films. I mean, they don't release that.
Because certainly Netflix definitely don't. I think I think they tried to do one in the UK that included that streaming. But again, I don't think it was exhaustive, right?
Yeah.
But that raises the question is like, what is it about the cinemas that they do release the box office information? How did that come about, right?
Because they have to report it so that everyone knows how much everyone gets, because again, going back, there was people who were being sued because they were underreporting box office figures, and they did it in, and I again I won't
If I've got a
deal that says I get 10% of the box office because I've frankly carried this film, then you go, oh, you only made 2 million. And you go, well, no, you didn't. You made 20, which means you owe me 2 million, not 200 grand. Right. So, yeah, money.
So why doesn't that happen in the streaming world? Or do you think with something like they've done with HBO Max, that might start having to happen in the streaming world because of they've cut a deal for a percentage that they have to make it public?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you might find we do
Netflix. Yeah.
So as this evolves, we might get streaming.
It's really confusing, but you know, it's something that we need to keep an eye on. But for the moment, I think we've still got US and UK box office. As I said, you know, that they owe us an entire year of films, and
the only alternative for the game, because we did discuss this when it looked like pretty grim, and it's like we've got no idea if cinemas are ever opening ever again because it's the end days. We sort of like thought, like, you could look at something like Rotten Tomatoes and take the scores from Rotten Tomatoes and use those to run as input for Whopper. But I think we used to do that very, very like many years ago with the Empire magazine. We took the star ratings right back way back. But it's a bit of an epic task to pull all the data in for that. Whereas the box office stuff is pretty simple. But it's also like highly subjective. Maybe something like Metacritic, but even then there's a bit of a delay in like how long do you run it for? You know, do you just score once for the film? There's a lot of questions that make it like not. I just don't think it would be as good a game, right?
I agree, I think we need to base it on performance rather than accolades, which is why unfortunately animation is. kills us occasionally, because they do really well because kids want to go and see that stupid film 3 or 4 times. But let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about a far better way of keeping yourself amused on a cold Saturday night. So one of the things that we tried to do during our kind of enforced break while everything was a bit quieter is we created a monster. Now, this was, I think this was your fault, or it could have been
me?
Mr. Estill's fault. It was definitely someone's fault, but we created Bad Film Club. We created a group of people who deliberately watch bad films every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It has snowballed into a weird thing.
At one point, it was every week, but that became quite arduous.
It did.
It's like, let's ruin every Saturday night.
No, let's only ruin every other Saturday night.
Otherwise, you need a break.
So basically how we work this is we run the film on a Saturday evening at 8 o'clock UK time, which is 3 Eastern and 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Yep. Pacific. So it's not a great time if you're in the US, but it's just, sorry, we live here. And we've picked films that are available, and we've picked Netflix because we can kind of agree that we all seem to have Netflix as our our streaming choice. And we've watched
the lowest common denominator.
Yeah. So I've had to create a completely separate profile away from my own profile to like things like Adam Sandler films, because otherwise my algorithm gets so knocked out of shape, I can't watch anything on Netflix. So we've watched
Netflix. Yes. So I didn't do that. And now every time I log into Netflix, it's like, you really want to watch 2012?
No,
you really want to watch 2012. Like, I don't want to watch. I've seen it once and that was once too many.
Exactly. So we've watched, most recently we watched Nicolas Cage in Next, which was,
that's the sound you'll make in the last 2 minutes of that film when you realize what they've done.
You kind of go, but what happens? The last minute, you'll go, oh, that's interesting. So they've redone.
But now,
so
I'm guessing
that they're going to resolve. Oh no, it's over. And you go, right. Okay. But
we should pull out and explain the whole thing.
We should pull out the thing. So we all start the film at the same time and we sit on our Discord group and we basically chat. There are optional drinking rules, which in some cases have saved bad films. And we have also found absolute gems. So we watched Noah, which was baffling. We watched Jonah Hex, which is in a parallel universe, is where the Marvel universe went to die. We watched Jupiter Ascending, a film so bad that Oscar winning Eddie Redmayne. I know that film was awful.
No.
We watched
it had the worst thing you can have on a bad film is it's boring.
And that's
the problem with it. I can put up with anything, but boring is the worst. And 3 hours of boring is
crimes against humanity. We watched, what else did we watch? We watched Battleship, which was absolutely hilarious. That's a good bad film. We watched Matthew McConaughey and Sarah Jessica Parker in Failure to Launch, which is one of the weirdest films I've ever seen, because you sit there and you go, how did someone think that this was a good idea? I mean, it's problematic. Then we watched The Holiday, which if you watch The Holiday without your significant other who loves that film and insists that you watch it every Christmas, if you stop and think about that film, Cameron Diaz is psychologically unstable in that movie. Yes. I mean, and then, so we watched a couple of absolute gems. You've heard what we're doing next.
We're doing
those three things, and not necessarily in that order, but we're doing Eat, Pray, Love with Julia Roberts. That is going to break
a bad feeling. I have a bad feeling about
it's
that
gonna one. Be it's gonna be a, but to be honest with you, it's actually it, the reason that I find it funny is however there is the one that we've been asked to repeat, because we picked one of our patrons and one of our things picked Rock of Ages, which is a 80s rock jukebox musical starring Tom Cruise,
which I had never heard of.
I've watched it before and I knew it was bad, but I didn't grow up with that music, so I don't know all of those tunes, but Mrs. B does, and she watched it and she sang all the way through it. And I just sat there going, what the hell is this? But we played again, we played that, and about 10 minutes in, everyone just went, this is amazing. This is genuinely, I'm loving this film. So we've already had a request to do a repeat on that, which I'm fine. And we've also
jaw-dropping. It has jaw-dropping moments. They got that person to do that.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But so that's been quite good fun. And you know, it's definitely sparked a couple of we did the Da Vinci Code. Remember the Da Vinci Code?
Oh dear.
Yikes. Anyway, so if you want to get involved in Bad Film Club, all you need is either an extensively bad DVD library or a subscription to Netflix. All you gotta do is just, you know, join us on the Discord group. As I said,
we have a channel for it.
There's a channel for it, which you can go and read back some of the previous comments, and most of them are just like, what
sadly,
are we doing?
We nuked some of the earliest before we decided that for posterity we would keep the...
That was my fault. I did that. I thought that no one would be interested in going back, but I occasionally find myself rereading the Rock of Ages comments because they make me laugh so much.
If you're a masochist, you could, like, you can see, because you do a countdown, like 3, 2, 1, go. You could simulcast, you could like read the comments as you watch the film now. Well, even if we watched it in the past, you could sort of relive Bad Film Club.
So one thing that I do, which is completely unrelated to Fantasy Film League, is that for our non-European listeners, there is a thing here in Europe called the Eurovision Song Contest. Which is an institution.
It is an institution, yes.
Amazingly tacky. For one day of the year, what I would do is I retweet on my personal Twitter account all of the text messages my dad sends me, because my dad is savage when it comes to the Eurovision Song Contest. He's one of the funniest things he ever.
The correct approach for that.
Oh, he is. He's brilliant. So because my dad obviously has the same accent as me, Azerbaijan came on with a song which was unbelievable, and my father wrote Azerbaijan, Azerbaijesus, more like. I laughed for a solid 20 minutes, but I had to repeat that on Twitter. So imagine that level of savagery, but you're also allowed to drink again if you want to, and you get to watch a film, and you also get to come out of it and just go, well, that was bad, but I feel a sense of unity with these other people who sat there and watched it. We did Doom as well. You really liked Doom, didn't you? I think you enjoyed Doom.
I enjoyed the fact that it had a surprisingly good cast.
It was good, wasn't it?
In a Bobbins film.
It's like Rosamund Pike, and you're like, God, she was.
And Dwayne the Rock Johnson when he was still the Rock.
Right? No, he was also the size of a pebble back then. He was tiny.
I mean, the man's massive.
And Carl Urban, he was young and he needed the money.
Oh, definitely. There's many upsides to Bad Film Club. One of them being you sort of see people early on in their career, or you just see just very strange choices that people have made. It also makes you appreciate good films so much more.
Yeah.
it's like if you've got a very serious film but you have some comedy in it, kind of you get that dynamic range, right? And this is what we're doing with Bad Film Club. We're like going, you know, just appreciate what you get in a good film. You know, it's not always like this, right? It could have ended up like this, right?
There's been a few films where you've watched and we've kind of gone, I can see what they tried to do, but I can also see where it went horribly, horribly wrong. Yeah. Anyway, so if you're listening and you want something to do on a Saturday evening because you're still locked away, you can join us for Bad Film Club. I do know for a fact that there are certain people who watch the film, sit and watch it on Discord, but don't get involved. They just watch the film and just read the chat. So
they're lurking.
That's fine. Yeah. We don't mind lurkers. It's okay.
But come and join us and find out about Frank as well.
Frank. I'm getting a t-shirt for that. Because that is, and there's going to be, I've noted down the day that first turned up. So we're going to have an International Frank Day.
Excellent.
Yeah. So yeah, I've got that planned. Right, let's move on. Let's talk. Oh, hang on. I need something. All right, I'm back.
Okay. Hey.
It's back. it's time for what the section of the show I like to call, well, that would have been useful about 4 weeks ago. This is the point where we're going to give you some stats and tell you who you should have bought. When you, so you listen to this and just go, yeah, great, thanks. Yeah, that would have been really useful. So if you have a time machine,
yeah,
you might want to pay attention, because now you can go back and win the Fantasy Film League. So I've had a quick look, and what I want to try and do with the podcast is do a little bit more stats and talk a little bit more about what's happened. Now, there is, inside Whopper, I found a subroutine that gives me the earnings, the top earnings for the past 4 weeks. But at the moment, it seems to be listing not only Nicolas Cage, but singularly 90s Nicolas Cage, which is zero.
There's two Nicolas Cages?
Apparently, we seem to have caused some sort of temporal anomaly, and there are two Nicolas Cages in our system. But they...
I'm going to have to see if I can debug that. That sounds like it's a mistake.
90s Nick Cage has earned zero, but he's at the top of the list. So we need to fix the 4 weeks thing.
Looks like it's alphabetical order then, because 9 comes before A.
Before letters, yes. However, in ASCII. I have had a look at... some of the top earners of the year so far to see basically who you should have bought.
I think here's the thing. If I'm going to go in and debug Whopper to get to fix these stats for us, I think maybe now's a great time for people to hit me up on Discord and say, what kind of stats would you like to know about, or would be interesting. Let's give us a shout.
I mean, we do the 4 weeks of winning, because it usually is an under normal circumstances, it is usually the amount of time you need. So I usually go back 4 weeks and kind of say, what are the best, who are the best people to have? But I have got a list of the best people so far. I'm just bringing it up. So at number at number one on our list, so the person who's earned the most so far this season is Joel Crawford.
So I had
to go and look him up.
Joel?
Well, first of all, Joel costs 10 million fuffle bucks, and he's earned but he's earned nearly 24, so he's earned
the most that anyone costs is about 16, we don't price someone at 10 if we don't see something significant coming down the path. So
he's had the number
he's
had the number one film for the last 5 weeks in the US, which is The Croods. He's the director of The
Croods. Of an animation. Right. Yeah. That's classic FFL.
Indeed. So he's really good. So he would have earned you. You would have made a profit of 13 mil on him. Next up is, I always get her name wrong, Gal, is it Gadot or Gadot?
I am reliably informed it's Gadot.
Right. So Gal Gadot is number two, and she's earned 20 million because Wonder Woman, despite the fact that it was released obviously on HBO Max as discussed, it's the only film they released. They released it on Christmas, I think, on Christmas Eve. It's been out for the whole year. So she's made 20 million and she would have cost you 15. Closely behind there is actually in joint second place is the director, Patty Jenkins of Wonder Woman 84.
You often see that pairing of like director and lead.
Indeed. Right? However, Patty Jenkins only cost you 8.
Oh, wow.
So if you were going to make the money on that, if you were going to choose your fuffle bucks on Gal Gadot or Patty Jenkins, you should have gone Patty Jenkins. At number four is my man, the ever-present... The stars will burn out and this man will still be jumping over fences, trying to rescue his kids and punching people in the face. Liam Neeson.
I couldn't work out who you were talking about.
Liam Neeson. It's always Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson.
Like jumping over fences. Is that Simon Pegg? Saving his children.
Liam Neeson.
Okay. Yeah, no. Makes perfect sense. Yes.
So
Liam Neeson, actually, wow.
I know.
I'm surprised.
Liam Neeson makes a huge amount of money because he brings out films that frankly, middle-aged men go and see. Now, nothing wrong with being middle-aged men, because I'm going to be honest with you, Smith, we're getting close to that. But my dad, and we've spoken about this before, my dad loves Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
He will go and see anything that Liam Neeson's in, because usually, and the same with Denzel, because usually it's it's middle-aged men smacking the crap out of 20-year-old Euro trash. And you'll kind of go, hell yeah, Liam Neeson and Denzel.
Wish fulfillment much?
It's pure wish fulfillment. It's Liam Neeson basically shooting people.
Now, and you know what? It's, 2019 for Liam Neeson was, say, not the easiest of years. Of years for him. So actually...
I like to call it the year of oversharing.
So he's seemed to have weathered that fairly well.
Gonna be honest, he did the sensible thing. He realized that's something stupid. He didn't try and double down on it. He got his head down and he just stayed out of the way for a year and a half.
And then came back and went on an action film. And then the global pandemic happened, which was like the world's best look over there.
He slipped down the news. Yeah, exactly. So well played. But look, so interestingly though, we Liam Neeson is the Stella Artois of the Fantasy Film League on the grounds that he is reassuringly expensive. So he is 14 million fuffle bucks, but so far, and we're recording this on March 14th, so far he's earned 15 million.
Ooh. So he's already clearing.
Back. Yeah, we've got nine months to go, man. He's earned his money back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's if you keep him in a film for that time. But true. If you're playing one and done, right, then he would have been exactly. solid, right?
Yeah. But rounding out our top five is my deal of the week. It's Mila Jovovich.
No.
Now, before you say, who? Obviously, we all know who Mila Jovovich is. She turns up in absolute crap fests like Resident Evil. But
Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 and Resident Evil 4.
And then it got to the point where they started adding words instead because they don't want to go Resident Evil 19. It's Resident Evil Retribution or Resurrection or Resurgence or Divergence or, I think I'm going off topic.
There's not crossover into Divergence.
Mila Jovovich, who is actually a good actress if she can be bothered to maybe do any work.
Yep.
13.9 million from Monster Hunter, a film that got pulled from China on the grounds that they realized it may be slightly racist. she only costs 3 million fuffle bucks. So she's made 10 mil.
Now that is banking.
10 that mil is... she'd have made you. And
respect.
That film's still going.
Respect.
That film is.
And I think, I think the current situation is perhaps.
That's
helping that.
That's definitely
you
helped
wouldn't see that under normal circumstances.
I think that film has got extra legs to it purely because there's nothing else on in the cinema. But so what I'm thinking is every 3 months, what we'll do is we'll go through the stats of how people have done so far this year. But I think from a game point of view, people will be more interested in seeing where it's being in the last 4 weeks to see who they.
Yeah,
they
so we're going to do this done. Every this podcast we're going to do every 2 weeks now.
Yeah, so we're going to do every two weeks.
That's the plan.
And we're going to
try and come back with stats, like fresh stats, and go looking back over the last 4 weeks. Who's coming into the high earners? Who's dropped out of the high earners? All that kind of stuff. But
exactly,
I think if you're playing the game and there's something you'd like to. You're interested in that we can bring in the stats section, then come onto Discord and at Mr. Smith and say I'd like to see this.
Yeah,
and if Whopper's feeling cooperative, then we should be able to do that.
Yeah, Whopper's generally not feeling that cooperative. If there's anything else that you want to talk about or any questions you want to ask us, let us know because we'll cover it here. What I think we'll do is we'll kind of talk about. Films in the first half of the podcast, and then we'll get a little bit stat heavy. So we'll give you a little warning, so you can.
People who don't care about stats can like just skip to the end.
exactly. So, that's it. So that's kind of like our very quick. We've kind of waffled on a bit longer than we should have done, really, here at Smith. But that's pretty much par for the course.
it's been a while. We're like catching up, right?
Exactly. I know. Yes,
back on the saddle.
For ages. Indeed, getting back into or on the saddle. So. That's it. That's where we are. So we're, still ticking along. It's just kind of waiting for the great restart. And then, we're good to go. And then, Bond and everything else that we're owed. So we're back in 2 weeks' time. We'll cover off some of the things. I want to talk about heist movies. And I want to talk about artificial intelligence. Because they're the two things we haven't covered today. Because we do need to tell people that we have potentially created the opening act of a sci-fi movie inside a game in a corner of the internet. But I mean, it'll be fine. I mean, when does AI ever go rogue and try and kill people? It almost never happens in films.
Never.
And yeah, and if there's anything else you want to do, by the time we come back again, we'll have, because we're out of sequence, aren't we? Because we're watching Bad Film Club next week, and then we'll have a week to recover, and then we can talk about it.
Unless we add an extra gap and sync them up or something, but we can.
I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think I need to watch a bad film on Saturday evening and then talk to you about it on Sunday morning.
Do this the next,
because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm probably still going to be quite annoyed and or hungover because there are drinking rules. But we will go through the film. We will outline what the drinking rules were, and then I think we'll also claim what comment of the week was, because there are always a lot of contenders. So that's it. If you want to get hold of us,
there's a lot of strong GIF action.
Very, very strong GIF game on the Discord. It's very, very good. And we haven't even talked about the Mirror Universe, which is another problem that we had.
That's a whole episode.
That's a whole unfilmed episode. That's with the Birch's rant about 3D and the secret history of the Spider-Man franchise. Two episodes of the podcast that we genuinely recorded that we never released because, well, there was reasons. We're back in 2 weeks time. If you want to get hold of us, as I said, get us on the Discord group. Alternatively, you can email us if you're, you know, from the 1990s. I'm from the 1990s.
I'm from the 90s.
You can email us. So it's mr.birch@fantasyfilmleague.com. You can also find us on the Twitter. We are at the FFL and I'm at Mr. Birch FFL. We don't do the Facebook anymore, do we? We don't
not
do the
for
we
quite
don't,
a few years.
For quite a while.
Yeah,
no,
because,
we don't do the Facebook.
Also
we don't do
reasons.
The yeah, we don't do that. We don't have anything up. But Discord's the place to go. That's where you find us. And
it's where all the cool kids are at.
Well, it's where we're at.
And the cool kids. But they're
the
over
cool
there
kids.
On the
they're
other side
there.
Of Discord.
They're over there doing stuff. We're just over here doing silly things. Cool. Right. I'm going to put the bell away. I love the bell. I love the bell. I bought this bell especially for the podcast. It's a proper, like, you know, bell.
That is a classy bell.
Now, also, if we both agree to sort our hair out and maybe work on our backgrounds, we could always release this as a video stream at some point as well. Because we're doing this remotely so that we've got it on video so we can see each other and wave. Yeah, you've got quite a geeky poster behind you. The poster behind me is a needlecraft level of geek work. Right.
That's a Doctor Who, I think.
That's a
I've got a Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You've got Doctor Who.
We are weapons world nerds.
My background is actually quite, if I took that picture down, it's almost like I could use it as a green screen apart from it's white.
I've got other stuff around the fortress here, but so maybe we might do if if I sort my hair out, then maybe I'll think about it. I need a haircut quite desperately. Yeah. So but maybe we might release this as a video call and make you God so do you. And then maybe
need a haircut.
If you would like to be involved in the podcast,
Let
us know. Because we're at the position now where we can just kind of get everyone in. Because now that we've simplified our technology and we've actually just we're doing this across the interpipes, who knew? I never knew it was going to be a thing. It's actually a bit easier to do. So if you want to get involved, let us know.
Guests. We could have guests.
We could have guests on. I know. What? I know. It'll never work.
Never take off.
Right then. I will see you. Well, I'll see you in 2 weeks' time. But I'll speak to you probably briefly next week for Eat Pray Love. I'm sorry. You're welcome. And I'm sorry. And we'll take it from there. So
yes.
See you in 2 weeks.
This is the FFL signing off.
Ooh,
see you soon.
Signing.